98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Yachin Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on, my friend?
I'm just eagerly anticipating to find out what our audience thinks our nicknames should be. Have you seen this tweet from our Arizona sports account? Not the Burns and Gambo show.
Let me look.
Today, you know the Players Weekend?
Yes, Players Weekend, right.
Well, they announced they're doing another one, and Brad Boxberger, it's kind of funny, actually. Instead of having his name on his jersey, he's going to have two emojis, one of a box and one of a burger. Clever, kind of funny.
It's good.
Walker Buehler of the Dodgers is going to have Ferris on the back of his jersey. That's kind of cool. That's kind of funny. So the Arizona Sports Twitter account, which is what, at AZ Sports? Yes, at AZ Sports, retweeted a Bickley and Murata tweet. If AZ Sports had a Players Weekend, what should the nicknames be for Doug, Wolf, Gambo, Burnsy, Bickley, and...
Okay.
Yeah, so
right.
I'm eagerly...
Any responses yet?
Let's see. One responder believes that your nickname should be Moneybags, and my nickname should be Not the Pest Guy.
Moneybags?
Moneybags and Not the Pest Guy.
Not the Pest Guy?
Yeah. Another guy suggested...
Okay, that's not very good.
Another guy suggested Dueling Gambos for you.
Okay.
And I'm just Burnsy.
Well, that's their nickname anyway.
I know. That's my nickname. It's like Granky having Granky on the back of his jersey like he did last year. I don't know. I'm hoping for something better than that. And Granky's doing it again this year, too. Yeah, Granky's nickname on the back of his jersey is going to be Granky. It's a fun little thing. I mean, I know that the jerseys are just hideous looking. I'm looking at the Diamondbacks one right now.
Mine would be, like, if you did the box and the burger, mine would be like a bar of gold. And then a leg. Because my name in Italian means golden leg.
Seriously?
Yeah. My real name is Giovanni Giuseppe Italo Gambadoro. That's my name. But and my last
translated,
name.
Translated, the last name translated?
My name is Giovanni Giuseppe Italo Gambadoro.
Golden leg?
Yes, golden leg. Gambadoro is golden leg. Take that, Jay Philly! I should have been a kicker.
Not golden gloves?
No, golden leg.
Gold finger?
No, Goldfinger. It's not a movie. It wasn't a movie. My name translated in Italian is Golden Leg.
And for the rest of this day,
Golden Leg,
I shall call you Golden Leg.
It's the Burnsy and Golden Leg Show.
The Burnsy and Golden Leg Show.
Yes, my name in Italian is Golden Leg.
Tell you what our
That's
top,
what it stands for.
Tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Golden Leg Show.
Going deep. Today's top story. Burns and Gambo.
Oh, indeed, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know what? They say you learn something new every day. That's the new thing I've learned today, that your last name translated in Italian means golden leg.
Golden leg.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Steve Wilks.
I should have been a soccer player.
Head coach of the Cardinals in what I believe is his final media availability before Saturday. I don't think Coach Wilks, I could be wrong, I don't think he's got another moment where he's going to speak to the media. Once again today, declined the opportunity to be specific about playing time for the quarterbacks in the preseason opener on Saturday. He did, however, say that all four Cardinals quarterbacks will play.
Okay.
Right. So it was at least we.
Right.
So to me.
So
that,
now I know why. Yeah, right. Now I know when. But when Kanoff plays, I'm out. I'm out.
Kanoff equals enough.
That's when I. Okay.
I've had a Kanoff.
That's it.
Fourth quarter
starting, and here comes Kanoff. Okay, I'm good. I don't need to watch anymore.
Honey, I can't watch the TV anymore. I've had
Jordan,
Kanoff.
If something happens when Kanoff's in, you're going to have to let me know. Just let me know.
So. Okay, so I'm going
to say. Because if I come in here Monday, I swear to God, if I come in here Monday and I have to talk about Kanoff, I'm done.
You won't have to.
Yeah.
So here's my guess. This is my guess.
Did you see that pass that Kanoff threw for 20 yards? Yeah, no.
No, you didn't, because you had Kanoff.
I had
Kanoff. Right. I didn't want any more. I said no more. My guess is Bradford for a series, Josh Rosen for the rest of the first half, Mike Glennon for the third quarter, Kanoff for the fourth quarter. That's
all
my
right,
guess.
There's your guess.
It's just a guess. I don't know. It's just a shot in the dark. We'll see.
That's an Ozzy Osbourne song.
Shot in the dark. Yeah.
It was a good Ozzy Osbourne song.
I wonder what his name translated in Italian means. Josh Rosen was on Doug and Wolf this morning and was asked how he feels two days before his first ever professional game.
I'm really excited. I'm basically trying to take every day by day and hour by hour. Because if you try to look too far ahead, it looks like a lot. I mean, the preseason four games is basically a quarter of a college season before you even start your actual regular season. So I'm just kind of getting ready to try and strap in for the long haul. Get my body right and try and master this playbook and really be ready week to week if my name is called.
I listened to the whole interview on the Arizona Sports app when I was driving into work today, and I don't know about you, but there were two things about it that really stood out to me.
Okay.
Number one was a genuine appreciation of Sam Bradford.
Absolutely.
And what Sam Bradford is doing for him.
Listen to the interview. The guys, they did a good job, Doug and Wolf. I enjoyed it. I really like him responding to the why, which I thought was pretty good. But let's start with Bradford.
Okay.
The appreciation that he has for Sam Bradford. We've said this all along, and I truly believe this. He's in the best situation out of any of the young guys. And he said it. You know, like, he said something about the three GMs that picked quarterbacks ahead of him, but he goes, I'm glad they did. I'm prefacing it. I'm glad they did because I'm in the right situation. I like where I'm at. So the whole thing about, you know, the teams that picked quarterbacks ahead of you, and he just said, listen, just the three GMs that picked somebody else instead of me. I like the answer that he had, but I also like the fact that he realizes I'm in the best spot.
Yeah, here's that cut.
I have a great coach who came from Peyton and Phillip, and I get to learn behind Sam, and I think I landed in the best situation of any quarterback in the draft. However, I'm still very frustrated and angry that the three GMs thought the three other quarterbacks are better than me, and I'm still very determined to prove them wrong.
Interesting, because I think Steve Wilkes was asked a question about that today during his media availability, and he said it's kind of time to let that go.
There was nothing to that, man. There was nothing to that. He goes, I still want to prove them wrong. That's okay. If that's what motivates you, that's what motivates you. What he said after that, we don't have. And that's where he said, but I'm in the best spot.
He said that at the beginning. He said,
I'm in the best situation.
Yeah. As far as what Bradford has meant to him.
I don't know if I could really think of one word for it, but he's just been really, like, surprisingly encouraging, and he's helped me out a ton. Like, not just saying that to try and sort of, like, as an overlying, like, whatever, and trying to fake it. Like, he actually has been unbelievably.
Like, he's meant it.
Yeah, he's been awesome with me.
And I appreciated him kind of struggling to find the right word, because a lot of guys in that situation, I think Josh is absolutely right, would fake it. A lot of guys in that situation would, I'm going to help the kid here, but I'm really just concerned about myself. Yeah, I'll show you the ropes and all, but I'm not genuinely interested in your development as a quarterback, because ultimately,
because I'm selfish,
you're here to take my job, right? And I think it sounded to me like Josh Rosen was almost surprised at how genuine the help has been when it comes to Sam Bradford, and how good it's been when it comes to Sam Bradford, because it Sam's really trying to help Josh Rosen be a better quarterback, and he's not faking it. He's not half-assing it. He's doing it.
Sam Bradford has made $129 million going into this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to make 15 more, so that puts him at 144. Guy's made $144 million. I don't think he's that worried about, like, if this is the end for him, this is the end. He's good. He's good. He's got enough money for the rest of his life. His kids are taken care of, grandkids. He's good. So I don't think it. I think that genuinely, I mean, he signed here, and then they drafted Rosen, and this is, you've been around long enough, you know how it goes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're always trying to find guys to replace you, and he's got an opportunity here to keep his career going if he plays good. Like, he's going to play next year if he's healthy this year. Now, if Sam Bradford gets hurt in week two or three and doesn't come back, his career's over. Like, he's done. That's it. He's done.
I would agree.
But if he plays in 14, 15 games, or if he plays really well for the 12 games and then they bench him for Rosen and he played well, he'll play next year and make more money.
I would agree with that, too. Yeah, I would agree with that, too. The why thing that you mentioned.
Why? Why?
The remember right around the time of the drafts, Josh Rosen's college coach came out and said, yeah, he's always asking why. He's always asking why. And some people viewed that as a negative. And Wolf asked the question, did you just get sick of the why thing? Why was the why thing blown out of proportion?
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, if I was a teacher or I was a coach, like, I would be concerned if my, like, or I would either, one, think he knew absolutely everything down cold, or two, be very concerned that he's, like, disinterested. I would want, like, my student or my player, if I was a coach or teacher, to, like, ask questions and try to figure out, like, what we're doing. Otherwise, I'd be like, is something wrong? Or, like, this kid must know absolutely everything. And I absolutely don't, and I'm very interested. So I want to find out the details of everything because I want to be one of the best in the game.
You know, I got to be honest with you. Like, I was that kid in school. Like, I never raised my hand. I never asked a question. I never asked why.
Yeah.
You know, why? Because I didn't care. You know? I mean, I didn't care.
You were John Goldenleg. Of course you didn't care.
So, like, but I, you know, like, no, I regret it now. Like, if I could go back and tell the, you know, the younger version of me, I would have said, you know, pay attention more in school. Try to learn something. You
really?
Know? Yeah, absolutely. I wish I would have. Oh. I mean, I wish I would have learned something.
Why? Because look where you turned out all right.
I know, but there's a lot of times when I'm not on the intellectual level with a lot of stuff. I just don't, like, you know, things go over my head and I don't know it. And so, like, you know, like, that could get frustrating. Like, you guys don't know that, but it gets frustrating. Like, when you don't know, I wish I would have cared a little bit more. Like, I don't know the difference between then and then, T-H-E-N and T-H-A-N. I don't know. Like, I there's a lot of those words like that. I don't
there,
know the difference.
There and between, there.
I don't know when to use T-H-E-I-R or T-H-E-R-E. I don't know. Like, I really.
T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I got a 50-50 shot, I guess. So, I wish I had known. Like, I do this stuff all the time. I don't know how to write in script. I don't know how to write in cursive.
Oh, well, I don't know how to write in cursive.
No, like, I literally can't write in cursive. Like, anything. Outside of my signing my name, I don't know how to write in cursive.
That's it.
I couldn't write your name in cursive. I don't know how. I wish I had.
The heart admission. I like that.
No, but I think Rosen saying that, I ask a lot of questions. I want to know why. I mean, that's a good thing. That should never, ever be looked at as a negative. That's a positive thing.
I hope he can play quarterback to the level that we all hope that he can, because I'm starting to. I like Josh Rosen more and more and more every time I hear him speak, every time I hear his thoughts.
Yeah,
I really do.
Be,
I really like the kid. I really do. I hope he can play quarterback as well as we all think. I really do, because I hope he's the answer.
You want to like him.
Because I like him. I like him a lot. He was brought in as an injury replacement, but now that he's got a little time under his belt, does Eduardo Escobar have a long-term future here in the AZ? That's coming up next on the Burns and Goldenleg Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back to the Burns and Goldenleg Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We learned today that Gambadoro, translated in Italian, means golden leg.
Golden leg.
We're not going to let that one go, at least not today.
Giuseppe Italo Gambadoro.
People might get sick of it, but we're going to call you Golden Leg as long as we can remember, at least in the course of today.
It's my name. Don't wear it out.
We will not. We will not. Mr. Golden Leg. The Arizona Diamondbacks off today, which is, it was good to see the Dodgers lose last night.
It was.
Oh, it
especially
was good to see the Dodgers lose.
In a game that Kershaw pitched in.
Yes.
Like, Clayton Kershaw pitched in, they lost. Like, that's
that was
that's
awesome.
Great news.
That made me feel really, really, really good, right?
It did.
And I think it's the same two teams.
Oh, and they got Colorado.
Well, that's
no,
right.
Dodgers
no,
got Colorado.
Right. They go to Colorado in a big, big series.
Huge series.
Right.
And they're not pitching Kershaw in this series.
Yep.
So no Kershaw against Colorado. You know, this is the opportunity to start to gain some ground right here.
A little bit. The A's won behind a starting pitcher that they just acquired at the trade deadline. Mike Fiers, though, they got in a deal, and he pitched 5 1/3 really, really strong innings last night. I believe he struck out 8, if memory serves. So good. So the Diamondbacks are the first place Arizona Diamondbacks today by a half game. The conversation,
but it's gonna go back and forth a bunch. Like, it's already gone back and forth, like, what, 4 or 5 times?
Yes,
recently.
I hope it. Well, I hope you're wrong, in the sense that I hope the Diamondbacks use these next 9 games as a way to give themselves enough of a pad so it doesn't go back and forth.
Yeah,
because if it goes back and forth over the next couple of weeks, I think the Diamondbacks might be in trouble.
Okay.
Just given their September schedule, I think if it goes back and forth the next couple of weeks, I think the Diamondbacks, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that would make me very nervous if the Diamondbacks can't build at least a little bit of a lead
cushion
going into September. Yeah, just a little bit. The conversation, though, and it's funny, we were both driving in today, and Bickley and Murata were talking about yesterday's game, but also what it means big picture. And I think you kind of started something a little bit after yesterday's game.
I started a joke.
When you said, okay, Eduardo Escobar, why can't the Diamondbacks keep him?
Well, I said that, and listen, you know that I don't, a lot of times I don't guess at stuff, right?
Yes.
So my feeling is, however you want to say it, I think they're going to pursue the opportunity to keep Escobar. I think they'll pursue it. I think they'll look at it. I think they'll look at trying to keep Escobar. I don't think they're looking at Escobar right now and thinking, okay, he's good. He's better than Jake Lamb. They might look to keep Escobar. Now, if you keep Escobar, you're probably going to trade Jake Lamb. Because if you trade Jake Lamb, you might be able to get some value for him, get a couple of prospects back, try to refurbish that minor league system. Now, if you can't keep Escobar, if he's out of your price range, you still got Jake Lamb under arbitration for the next 2 years. 2 years of control for Jake Lamb. Escobar, you're going to have to sign him to a deal.
Right.
So he's going to cost you more than Jake Lamb will cost you. But, man, he is such a good baseball player that, you know, there's my belief is that they are going to try to find a way to try to keep Escobar, you know, and that could cost Lamb his spot on the team.
When you say that,
which would make your daughter very, very upset.
She kind of has a crush on Jake Lamb, but then, you know, that's okay. She's going off to college. She'll be fine. She'll get over it. When you say that, though, to me, it's important to make a little bit of a distinction. Okay.
Okay.
This time a year ago, when the season ended, we knew the Diamondbacks were going to try to keep J.D. Martinez as well. We just knew they were going to fail.
No, we reported this, and there was a lot of misinformation out there. But we had it right. Okay, we had it 100% right. The Diamondbacks were willing to keep J.D. Martinez on a 1 year deal or a 2 year deal that had a player option in case he wasn't able to get. So, but they were never willing to go $100 million.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they were willing to do that. I'm saying that there was this hope kept alive that maybe they could find a way to re-sign J.D. Martinez.
Yes,
right.
If nobody was willing to give him the money he wanted, that he could have played one more year here, established his value some more, and then signed after a year.
And would you agree that hope was kept alive basically all offseason long because he was not finding what he was looking for in free agency, right?
Okay. Yes.
I think this is different, okay? I think when you say the Diamondbacks are open to the idea of trying to figure a way of keeping Eduardo Escobar, that to me is different than, yeah, we're going to offer J.D. Martinez a one-year contract, and if he doesn't get anything else, maybe he'll come back here and stay. Because this is realistic, okay? I don't think keeping J.D. Martinez was ever truly, really a realistic option that Diamondback fans should get their hopes up about, ever. At any point during that process did I ever feel hopeful that J.D. Martinez was really, truly going to come back with the Diamondbacks. I feel differently about Eduardo Escobar. I feel like with Escobar, when you say they're going to explore keeping him, I can actually believe
that they
there's
can.
A chance.
Yeah.
I never would have believed that with J.D. Martinez. I didn't believe it at any point.
Well, because Scott Boras was asking for $200 million.
That's what I mean. But that to me is the distinction here, because last year, hope was kept alive about J.D. coming back here. And I always thought it was fake hope. I always thought it was false hope, that it was just never realistic. I don't feel that way about Eduardo Escobar. I think this could happen. As long as the Diamondbacks, depending on what happens with their other big money guys? Where does AJ go? What does he do? Where does Patrick go? How much does he get?
What's your feeling on being able to keep Paul Goldschmidt beyond next year?
Right, and does,
like, those could factor in? Well, you're right. If Corbin and AJ leave, okay, so say you can't keep Corbin, you can't keep AJ. Well, then what the hell, man? Maybe you do keep Escobar. Uh-huh. Now you're not going to get Escobar and keep Lamb and Ahmed. You're going to get Escobar, and he's going to replace Lamb. Like, there's not a situation where I'm going to get all three guys and I'm going to keep them. I don't see that. Again, because I do think that Lamb has value. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. He's got 2 years left under team control, and you could literally trade him to a team like the Baltimore Orioles, who just lost their third baseman, Manny Machado, and you could probably get a couple. How many prospects did Baltimore get for trading away all their players? Trading away Machado, trading away Zach Britton.
Oh, I couldn't even add up all the guys. Yeah,
right. So their minor league system might be a lot better right now. You might be able to trade them Lamb for a couple of prospects or another team. not Baltimore, but another team.
The only reason we bring this up is that Eduardo Escobar has been exactly as advertised since he's been here. He's played 10 games with the Arizona Diamondbacks, 10. He's got 5 doubles. He's got 7 RBIs in those 10 games. He has been perfect, perfect for them.
He is a doubles machine. He is terrific defensively. He's an energized guy. He's a, you know, he, now this is a career year for him. So that, you know, that could be a reason why he doesn't break the bank, because it's not like he's done it for 5 straight years. He was a backup infielder at one point, and he's literally burst onto the scene this year and played so well. And but like most people, like if you ask most major league people, managers, GMs, They'll tell you they like Escobar more than Lamb.
Derek Hall this morning on Doug and Wolf.
The fact that he can play anywhere defensively in the infield if you need him to is such a special trait. But then it's what he does with the bat, you know, from both sides of the plate. And this guy is an RBI machine. We knew it before we acquired him that he's one of the top 3 in baseball when it comes to runners in scoring position. And it happened again yesterday at a very important moment when it's 4-0. You're hoping you can tack on a little more. And here he comes, and, you know, the 2-run double. And you think, with runners in scoring position and he's up there with 1 out, whatever the case may be, you feel very comfortable and confident that he's going to get the job done, and he did it again.
I hope they keep him. I just wonder who, and I'm not talking about Jake here, who are they going to have to sacrifice financially to put themselves in a position to be able to keep Eduardo Escobar? Because they're certainly not going to be able to re-sign Patrick and AJ and keep Eduardo.
You might
Escobar.
Be able to keep him if one of those guys leaves.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if Corbin leaves, don't you need to get another starter?
Yes.
I mean, you could try to keep Buchholz. I would.
But you might be able to find one, not in the bargain bin, but, you know, somebody who you find the starting pitching version of Yoshi Hirano, right? Somebody that you're not paying a lot of money to, but you know you believe is going to be very productive at a reasonable rate. That's what you'd have to do if you lose Patrick
Corbin. Do you go
Corbin.
Get Matt Harvey? Do you go get J.A. Happ?
Yeah.
You go get one of those guys.
Somebody
that might
just not that
cost
expensive.
As much.
Right.
Yeah.
Madden 19 drops tomorrow. We're celebrating by giving away copies every hour, all day long. So text Madden right now to 62620 and listen for your name tomorrow with Doug and Wolf at 6 a.m. Plus, one grand prize winner will score a console of their choice, a PS4 Pro and Xbox One S. Once again, text Madden to 62620 to enter. They're both breaking in new coaches with the assistance of a veteran quarterback. Can ASU and U of A survive the spotlights they're under? That's coming up here on the Burns and Golden Lake Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
And for that, we've got our associate producer and update guy, Andy Greenberg, with today's Twitter Poll question.
Hello.
Of the day. Hi, Andy.
Who is the MVP of the 2018 Diamondbacks so far?
Oh, it's a good one.
Talked about this a bit yesterday.
I'm going to retweet this.
50% say David Peralta. 31% say Zach Greinke. 16% say Paul Goldschmidt. 3% say other, and those three people have left us their other: Buchholz, Pollock, and Hazen.
David Peralta is running away with it.
Wow,
running away with it.
He's a very popular guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps that he's a very popular guy. It helps that he is in
he's
the midst
a career year.
It helps that he's raised his batting average 13 points in the last 4 or 5 games, right? I mean, man, he's just on an absolute tear right now. It's a good question. It's a good question. We'll see. See at the end of the season who ends up being the quote-unquote MVP for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I say Peralta, you say Goldie.
I said Goldie yesterday. It's close. I mean, it's not close in that poll, but I still think it's Goldie. But I think, like I said yesterday, if Peralta continues to do stuff like this, maybe not at this level because I don't think he can keep this up, but stuff like this, I think it will be Peralta when it's all said and done. But right now, I would pick Paul Goldschmidt. The ASU Sun Devils made their one-day trip to Camp Tanazona yesterday. Did you know that? They went up there for the day.
Is it the courtesy? I mean, we'll just show up for a day?
Well, no, they wanted to go up there, but they're installing that new field turf
right?
So they couldn't, and it wasn't because of all the rain they got up there. It's not going to be ready until September, so they couldn't go up there to practice, but new coach Herm Edwards wanted to go up and pay respect to what he calls Camp Cush. He doesn't even call it Camp Tanazona. The one-day journey up there to see the facility, hike up to the top of the mountain, do some team bonding activities, then get in the bus and head home. Something else.
I'm glad they did it.
Oh, sure.
I'm glad that they went. It is an unbelievable tradition. And if they can get that area, listen, things have changed. When we used to go to Camp Tonnezone, when I went to Camp Tonnezone in the 90s and the early 2000s, you know, the facilities here weren't great. The technology wasn't great. It was easier just to go up there and, you know, the kids, they stayed in their trailers and the beds. Like, it wasn't that difficult. But now, like, the facility at ASU is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The training facility, the weight room, everything is just, you know, the video, everything is just, you don't want to leave the confines of home to go up there and kind of rough it for a couple of days because you feel like you're losing, you feel like you're missing out.
Yeah.
You do. You feel like you're missing out because the technology available today wasn't available in the 90s. It's so much easier to, you could break all the guys into room instead of going into a trailer and having the quarterbacks in this trailer and the wide receivers in this trailer and the defense in this trailer. I mean, they all have these unbelievable rooms with these, you know, with these video boards. And
sure,
you can break down plays, you know, screen by screen, and it's just so different.
I know, but to me, that was never the problem with Camp Tonnezone. The problem with Camp Tonnezone, as it relates to the new facilities they had, was the fact that they could never practice at Camp Tonnezone.
Because of the rain.
Because of the rain. I mean, it was always, oh, no, I got to get in the bus, go to Payson, go to the field turf field in Payson, then go back to Camp Tonnezone. If you fix that, and they are fixing that, then I liked Camp Tonnezone. I liked the tradition. I hated the impracticality of having to get on a bus and drive 30 minutes to practice in downtown Payson. It just didn't make any sense. So if you fix that, go to Camp Tonnezone, spend a week up there, bond, camp, do all that stuff. As long as you can get your football work done on the field, then that's fine. Something else happened today with ASU football. Tickets went on sale for their game against number 12, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Second game of the season.
Spartans are ranked number 12 in the USA Today's preseason Amway coaches poll. This is a unbelievable game. The ASU is promoting the non-conference matchup as its annual blackout game. You know, last year's blackout game featured them upsetting number 5 Washington. So it's so starting today, the tickets are on sale for the showdown on September 8th. I mean, think about that. We are, I mean, literally, you know, a month away from them. So that the game kicks off at 7:45 p.m. It's going to be nationally televised on ESPN, and it'll be the blackout game. So ASU against Michigan State. I don't think we're there with the fanfare yet for ASU. I think as the season gets closer, we'll get everybody's more, you know, the Diamondbacks are in a pennant race. They're in first place in NL West, and Josh Rosen and the Cardinals have their first preseason game Saturday. I'm not saying ASU is out of sight, out of mind, but they're kind of on the back burner, right? They're on the back burner right now. But as we get closer to that game, man, that's a big-time game. I mean, that is Herm Edwards against one of the best teams in the country. Play it close. Listen, if you can win, great. If you can play it close, that, you know, you, I'm not saying there's moral victories in college football. As long as you don't get blown out by 4 touchdowns, I think, you know, that'll be a game of significance for Arizona State.
Well, it'll be a game that it'll be of significance because it's a huge, you know, national opponent. It's going to be a lot of eyeballs. There's going to be a lot of attention on that game. I don't know about you. It's a game that scares me to death because it's part of this back-to-back-to-back trio of games that ASU has to play where it is murderer's row. I mean, it's Michigan State at home, it's at San Diego State, and then it's at Washington.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang.
And Michigan State has the local kid, right? The Pinnacle High School kid, right,
yes.
Jordan?
Yeah. So
they got the local kid playing quarterback.
I mean, I'll be honest about it, and we'll see when we get a little closer to the game. I think I'd be a little more excited about it if I felt like it was going to be a real competitive type game that could really put ASU football in 2018 on the map. I'm a little worried that it's not going to be that. You know, I mean, I'm past the point of getting excited when a big opponent comes in here. Ooh, here comes Michigan State. I want my program to be competitive with programs like that.
Sure.
That's what I get excited about. Not just because some big name is in here. I want to know that my team
can play with LSU. Remember when they played with LSU?
Sure.
Here? Remember when they came down to the wire?
Remember when they crushed Iowa all those years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
I love it when
Did they shut them out?
I believe that was a 45-0 was the number that just popped
into
my head.
Did they shut Iowa out?
Could be wrong, but that was the number that popped into my head was 45-0. So for me, it's just not Michigan State, that's great. I want to know you can hang with them. And maybe that Saturday night, they're going to be able to hang with them. I hope so. That'd be really cool. That would give us all a really nice, pleasant surprise when it comes to ASU football. I agree, no moral victories. But if they can play a program like that competitively that night,
sure,
we might have to change what we think a little bit about ASU football.
But there's also the ability to come out there and they lose 44-7. Right. Like the score. The Iowa game was 44-7. It wasn't a shutout.
Okay.
It was 44-7. But if they go out there and they lose 34-10, I mean, you know that there's a lot of work to do, that they're not on par. And sometimes it's good to catch those teams early.
Athlon Sports rated the quarterbacks in the Pac-12. Khalil Tate, number one. Jake Browning, number two. Justin Herbert, number three from Oregon. Tyler Huntley, number four.
And Justin Herbert's going to be the top quarterback taken, maybe, in the draft next year. Like he's a good NFL project.
Manny Wilkins, number five from ASU, which is about right.
Somebody asked the question. I remember who it was. Is this the best quarterback tandem that U of A and ASU have ever had in the same year? And I'm just trying to think of how many good quarterbacks U of A has had.
Not many.
Who was the kid that did the flip over the 1 yard line? They had Keith Smith, Ortiz Jenkins. Who's the other guy? Keith Smith.
Yeah, Keith Smith.
No, those were the two guys they had.
No,
Foles was here.
Nick Foles. I don't know who was. I can't remember who the ASU quarterback was when Nick Foles was here. I can't remember that. I don't know. Maybe. I know this.
Is it Foles and Osweiler?
The amount of attention that U of A is getting because of Khalil Tate. I saw a bowl projection today on CBS Sports. Holiday Bowl.
Wow.
That's a big-time game. Really decent bowl game to go to.
Yep. New Year's Eve?
At New Year's Eve day in San Diego. I've always...
It's a good bowl game.
To me, that's one of those bowl games you can kind of pat yourself on the back and be proud that you went to that one. I mean, some of these bowl games are kind of sketchy.
Listen, that's
a nice bowl game to get. If that's where they can go, that's a nice one to get to.
I know you hate their defense, and I understand because their defense was atrocious last year. But, God, they played so many true freshmen last year. They've got good linebackers. They've got good corners. They pick off a lot of passes. But they gave up a lot of yards. Their secondary was atrocious. I mean, I get it. But, man, they were so young last year. So I think that their defense is going to be a lot better this year just because of how young they were last year. Two of their linebackers are great, and they were both true freshmen last year. They should be even better.
We'll just see if they can live up to those expectations. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Chick-fil-A just east of the 101 on Chandler Boulevard. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Cardinals preseason tickets, and more. The Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series is going on all season. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. If one restaurant chain gets their way, the next time you order a beer and some wings, you can also get a three-team parlay on the side. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, for us, this next one is a little off the beaten path in that it's, you know, we've been talking a lot of Cardinals lately with training camp. We've obviously been talking a lot of Diamondbacks in the middle of this pennant race. But this is a story that is interesting. The tease that I read. The next time you order a beer and some wings, you can get a three-team parlay on the side. According to
it's coming
a report, and it originated in the Las Vegas publication Gaming Today, Buffalo Wild Wings, the popular sports bar chain which operates in all 50 states and internationally, says it is exploring the newly expanded sports betting space in the U.S.
Well, they're smart. CNN Money, Buffalo Wild Wings once again into sports betting. Business Insider, Buffalo Wild Wings explores sports gambling. USA Today, Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant chain wants to add sports betting to its menu. Yeah, think about it. It's smart. Like, a lot of guys, you know, you're going to go to a sports bar, you want to go somewhere to watch the game, and, you know, if there is a place out there that is offering the ability for you to throw $10 to $20 on a game you're going to watch, it might entice more people to go there, right? It might entice more people to go there. Hey, I'm going to go, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have a beer and a burger, and I'm going to throw $20 on a game.
Sure.
I mean, so you'll have to create a little area where you can make your bets.
Well, it doesn't have to be much. It doesn't take much space at all. I mean, it's a guy and a computer, basically. And then you need a board to put up all the odds, right, that you can bet on.
Right. With technology, you can probably do it from your table.
Probably
on your phone.
You know what? You might not. That's a great point. You don't even really need a space for it. You could probably just literally
put it on your credit card.
Have an iPad at your table where you can just bet.
Would you like to add a tip? Would you like to add $20 on the game?
Sure.
Which, you know, because
sure, yeah,
you ever go to those places where you like you get everything like right there, like the receipt and everything?
Oh yeah,
like Red Robins have
that,
right?
They print out the receipt right there for you. You order from your table.
Turn around, you put your credit card in, it comes out. You add the tip right there, and then you could you see a sign, you get a receipt. You never even see the waitress.
Nope.
Which
is terrible if you're a waitress and you're trying to make a living, but other than that, it's great if you're sitting there.
No, because
and you
how many times do you go
quick.
To a restaurant and you're done, and then you're literally waiting forever? Where's my waitress? I want to leave.
Of course, of course.
Where are you?
Yeah,
you wait 7 minutes extra because the waitress finally comes around. Oh yeah, can I get the? Can I just give you the credit card? I don't need you to go get me the. Just here, take it. Go. The ability to check out right away, I like that.
Now, before anybody gets too excited thinking that sports gambling is going to be coming to your Buffalo Wild Wings here in Arizona sometime very soon, I'm sure, and it doesn't point this out in the story, but I'm sure that obviously it depends on the laws of the state that you live in.
Right now, New Jersey, Delaware, and Louisiana have legalized sports gambling.
So they were the first three.
Jersey, Delaware, and Louisiana.
Jersey did it almost right away. Delaware was right behind them. I didn't know about Louisiana. I've spoken to a few people who are very engaged in this issue, sports gambling, and they believe, and I'm not trying to report this as fact or anything, it's just kind of regurgitating what they're saying. They believe that Arizona will be one of the last states to adopt sports gambling. Because of our conservative nature, because we're kind of a conservative state, that it just might not be on the front burner for a state like Arizona, that it might take a while to see other states, how they do it, whether it's really on our agenda.
Conservative here.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So I've been told. That might slow down how quickly it takes something like this to happen. This is not coming to your Buffalo Wild Wings sometime in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
It's got to be approved in your state. But I would agree that, I mean, look, if for nothing else other than just for fun, okay? I'm sitting there at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm having some wings with my wife and my kids, and I can throw
$10.
$5 on the Diamondbacks game that night. Okay, let's do it. Just for fun. I mean, just for amusement,
then when you lose,
entertainment.
Then when you could lose, you go to the waitress, I'm sorry, I'm only leaving you 10% because
or even better, exactly.
I'm teasing.
Even better, I mean, like me and my friends go to Vegas once a year for the college basketball tournament,
yes,
for March Madness, the first and second rounds. Okay, well now, on a Saturday night, I can meet my buddies at Buffalo Wild Wings, all right, and we can have some wings, and we can have some beer. And you know what?
Gambling right there.
Let's just bet on a bunch of college football games. Let's just, like, you know what? Let's do a three-team parlay here, and let's do this. Now, and if you're Buffalo Wild Wings, now you got me for the day. Because I'm there for the day, watching college football in your establishment.
They don't want you there for the day.
Sure, if I'm eating and drinking, they do.
For the whole day?
Yeah, if I'm there watching.
Don't restaurants like to clear tables out quickly to get more people in?
If I'm buying food and I'm buying drink and I'm the waitress, hey, you want another round? Sure, I want another round. And they keep bringing it to me, they're not going to kick me out at all.
All right.
Because if I'm sitting there drinking water and I'm not ordering any food.
Can I have another soda with lime, please?
Let's put it this way. If I'm you, yes. Buffalo Wild Wings would like to kick you out of the establishment because you're going to drink club soda with lime and not eat any food. If I'm me and I'm ordering a round of beer every 30 minutes, stay as long as you want, dude. Especially if you're betting on sports and we get a little cut of that.
Oh, they'll get a cut.
We get a little action of that. Because now, before I know it, I walk out of there and I've spent $200 on my bets, my beer, my wings. It's a brilliant idea.
Some people are going to think I'm going to go there and I'm going to spend $100 on food and beverage, and I might win that $100 back.
But then what will happen, and I'm really kind of going crazy with this now, but then what will happen, it won't just be Buffalo Wild Wings. It'll be Zips. It'll be Marley's. It'll be, it'll be every. If you legalize it, all it takes is that one to do it, and then it'll be everywhere.
But Buffalo Wild Wings is better positioned to do it because they're a giant corporation.
So
you
no
said
doubt.
They're in 50 states and international.
1,200 restaurants.
Marley's or Zips, I mean, those are exclusive to the Valley. So they may not have the actual infrastructure to support like this.
Fair point. I can see it.
1,200 restaurants.
I can see it starting quickly, more quickly at a national chain like Buffalo Wild Wings than a locally owned organization. There's no question. I totally agree with that. I mean, look, would it increase the odds of me going to Buffalo Wild Wings on a Saturday night for a few hours? You bet it would.
Honey, where do you want to go to dinner? Can we go to that nice Italian restaurant? What do you think about Buffalo Wild Wings?
They
got great burgers.
If I knew I could throw a few shekels on a couple of games,
oh yeah, done. Let's go. Yeah. Want to go for sushi? Nah, you know, I was thinking burgers tonight. Then the next week, how about Chinese? Nah, I was kind of thinking wings.
Wings. Kind of thinking wings.
I was thinking wings.
Again,
you wanna,
yeah. You can eat
honey,
healthy.
Why have we gone to Buffalo Wild Wings the last 7 weeks in a row?
Honey, you can eat healthy there. They have the celery. They have the carrots. They serve vegetables at Buffalo Wild Wings. You know? As many as you want. You know? All the celery and carrot sticks you can eat. Yeah, absolutely.
Honey, I want to dress up nice. You can dress up nice. Get all
sure, you can dress up who you want. You wear your finest heels. I don't care. We're going to Buffalo Wild Wings, so I can throw $10 on the game. You can wear your nicest pearls if you want. I don't care. We're going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Tom and Cindy want to go out for dinner. Where do you guys want to go?
Buffalo Wild Wings. I got to put $10 on the game.
Ask Tom where he wants to go. Tom, where do you want to go? Buffalo Wild Wings.
Coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show, this offseason has the potential to change, potentially dramatically change, the core of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And one projection, ooh, it's not forecasting real good news. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.